Proverbs chapter 3. While you're turning there, again, I want to invite all of you to a pizza and salad luncheon today. Hope you'll linger at least to get a name off of the wall to pray for. And my hope is that this text and this sermon will speak to how to pray for those people that you take off the board. I don't know how it will look, who you will choose, whether it's a teacher or a student or administrator, and hope you young people will do it as well. And I hope you put it on your refrigerator door or somewhere that you place a prominence in the house where you can be reminded each day to pray for that individual or individuals. But I hope that you'll join and have that. I am thankful for the youth committee. They have kind of put this meal together. Ansley Durant took care of the pizza, and Olivia Davis took care of the drinks, and Brad took care of the salad, and Hallie took care of the dessert. And so you don't have to bring anything, just eat some pizza with us, and we hope that you'll be a part of that, especially a part of the prayer ministry that will give us an opportunity to do for this school year. But we'll look at Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to read the first 13 verses of that chapter. I love the song that we just sung as it prepared us to receive the word, to ask the Lord to speak to us through it. And if I encourage you after the sermon to go back and look at that song and see how God has just kind of put together the perfect song as we approach this text for the specific text that we're reading from this morning. You see the echoes of it all throughout that song. And I have an advantage as being the one who's been studying this text this week. But Proverbs chapter 3, and just one last thing. The next Sunday, we're going to start a study on the Gospel of John. And we're going to go through the Gospel of John. So pray for me as I prepare for that. But we'll start that next week, and we'll study the Gospel of John until we complete it. Proverbs 3, 1 through 13. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. He will be help to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would speak to us. As we approach this new school year, we ask that you would teach us what you would have us to know, and that not only would we know it, but our hearts would embrace it. Father, we want to bring you great glory in this academic calendar year. We want you to use this, your word, today in the lives of your people. Show us the better way. Show us the best way in Christ Jesus, our wonderful Savior and Lord. Amen. Now, glad to see, I think all five of our future college students are here today. I think that's right. I think I see all five of them. And they're entering into a new phase of life, and it's exciting. It's exciting that they've completed I never thought I'd get through high school. They completed high school, and now they're entering into a new life. It's exciting, the new school year, for all of our students and teachers. But it's also scary and comes with its challenges. This week I'll have two of my kids go off to college. Karis and Linda will leave today with Rainey. They'll go up to the upstate and get situated up there, and then Hart later this week on Thursday. I think most of our students here today will start school this week or head up to school, one or the other. And I don't know how their parents feel. I assume, like me, there's this aspect of what words of wisdom can I give them before they leave off to this new phase of life? What kind of counsel can I give them? And I don't, know how well I've handled that with the three kids that have gone off to school, but you're kind of, as you're taking them up or you're saying goodbye or they start their first day, you're throwing out words of wisdom. And I'm kind of scrambling in my mind, what do I need to say to Hart before he starts his first semester of college? Find a church, Hart, find a church that you can worship the Lord in, get involved in campus ministries. Those are some of the ones that come to mind. Be in the Word, Hart. Be in the Word. Study it as you start this first semester of college. Find Christian friends. Surround yourself with people who love the Lord. There'll be a lot of people who don't. Find the ones who do and build your partnership and friendship with them. Be careful of the dangers. Be careful of the temptations. Be careful of your heart. Father's last words of wisdom. And we have our Father's words of wisdom here in Proverbs chapter 3. And I think they'll be a blessing to us more than my words. A blessing to each one of us if we hear what the Lord has to say. The title of this sermon is God's Ways Better, but it really should be retitled. I always figure out later in the week I should have titled it something differently. But God's way is best. It's not just better, it's best. And I hope you'll see that theme as we look at these words of wisdom from our loving Heavenly Father, and that's exactly what they are. Now, I wonder what our greatest prayers are for our children this school year. And I think the overarching prayer should be, as you take a name off the board, as you think of your grandchildren, your children, and you pray for them years, just pray that they would trust the Lord. Pray that they would believe Him. They believe these things that are placed before us in this text, that they would believe it and trust in it, because that's going to be their biggest battle, is believing and trusting the Lord. There's seven things here that fall under that trusting the Lord umbrella of this text. I'll give you the first six and I'll end with the seventh later at the end of the sermon. I'll reveal that to you then. But we'll see in this text that our loving Heavenly Father is saying, trust my words. Trust my commands. The second one is trust my love. Trust in His faithfulness and the mercy that's linked to it. Trust my wisdom. God is telling us in this text, trust my wisdom. Trust me when it comes to temptations. Trust me when it comes to my provisions to you. Trust me when it comes to my parenting of you. Those are the six that are found in this text that will lead us to the seventh. You see, the beginning of this text is my son. See, it's not given like a stern command. It's a loving father. We talked about our loving shepherd when we read the call to worship and we sang about our loving shepherd. But God has shown us His great love as a father. Y'all remember my sermon when I first got here? Behold, what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us. And these words are words of love. They're not words of hate. They're not words of, I want to make you miserable. They're words of saying, I want you to know the best way. And that's our prayer for you students and teachers and administrators and parents this semester, is that you would trust the Lord's words. And not just trust them with your mind, but that your heart would embrace them. You see, my son, do not forget my law. Another way to translate that word for forget is, do not abandon my law. Does not our heart want to abandon God's law? Is that not a daily struggle for us when we face the temptations that are before us? We want to forsake and abandon His commandments, and we want to go and cling to what is not good for us. Trust in the things that will not satisfy us. I remember my wicked heart in school. And how even though I heard the wonderful commands of the Lord, the beautiful commands of the Lord that were the best way for me on how to relate to Him and how to relate to others, and how every day at school I was bombarded with the opposite message. I remember that not only in my elementary years, I remember that throughout my middle school, high school years, all the way throughout college, of the attack that I would face from the outside sources. Not just friends, not just people, not just people I came in contact with, but with just the movies and music and everything would contradict God's law and His commands. I remember one wicked time for me in third grade. I was in third grade and this kid was being bullied by other kids. And I don't know what motivated me outside of my wicked heart, but instead of standing up for that kid who was helpless, I joined in with the bullies. And ended up, but the kid felt so hurt that I just jumped in the bullying process that it turned to tears and he started crying. And I begged him, I said, please, please don't tell on me, because that's going to be a spanking with that teacher and a spanking with mom and a spanking with dad. I'm going to get 3 spankings. Don't do it. Don't tell on me. And I was bribed. I said, I'll be your best friend. Again, there was no love for this kid. There was this selfish ambition, this forsaking all God's commands of how I'm to relate to Him and how I'm to relate to others. Instead of taking up for that weak kid, I ended up joining in and making him cry. And I remember walking with him, just pleading my case, please don't tell the teacher, please don't tell the teacher, because I knew what would come with it. And I was more just, I didn't care for him, I was caring for myself, and I abandoned that. And I know you kids have faced those same struggles. You face the same struggles with when a group of kids are making fun of another kid, or a group of kids are not honoring their teacher to join in with them like I did. And God's saying, don't abandon my commands. He's saying, because it's going to be better for you if you don't. It's going to be best for you. Now, we know that God's commands lead us to Christ, and we'll get to that in the end. I'm not talking about the fact that this is just, I've got to obey the Lord for Him to love me. He's already proven to love us while we were yet sinners. But there's this aspect that we cannot abandon His commands if we want what's best. It would have been best for my relationship. That kid ended up forgiving me and ended up modeling more. And I don't even know if he knew the gospel like I did. And modeling that more and forgiving me for my trespasses, became a great friend and taught me how to draw. He didn't hold it against me. He became my closest friend in third grade, not because of my not forsaking the law, but because of His mercy and His forgiveness. There's an emphasis here on the heart. But let not your heart, but let your heart keep my commands. Look, don't just obey my law. Let your heart embrace it. Love it. Now that's a miracle when the Lord makes us love His law. I wasn't born loving His commands. I wasn't born loving His law. But as the Lord did a work in me, He grew my affirmation for His good commands, His loving commands. When I tell my kids, when my dad told me the story I told you today, not to cross that rope or I'll be in trouble. Don't touch that hot lantern, David. Those were commands out of love. David, I don't want you to cross that because you don't know how to swim and you're going to sink and you're going to feel like you're drowning and could drown. I don't want you to touch that lantern because it's hot. The heat from that kerosene lantern is so hot that it'll burn you. And God's commands are the same way. He gives us these commands because they're the right, best way for us to live. But God's saying here, the emphasis not is just obeying them. The emphasis is on your heart loving them. We've done a study periodically. We've gone through 4 sections of Psalm 119. And we'll come back to Psalm 119 at a later day. And we've gone through Psalm 119. And you just see the psalmist delighting in the law of the Lord. And sometimes some of us will say, I don't delight in His word. I don't delight in His commands. His commands make me mad. Because it tells me I can't do what I want to do. Trust His word. And it comes with a promise. All these six come with a promise. The promise is for length of your days and long life and peace, they will add to you. God's not telling us that you're going to live to be 110. There's some people who love His law and care about His word and die at early age. But there's a principle here. It's like the principle when your parents said, if you eat your vegetables, you'll get stronger. It'll be better for you not to eat sweets all the time. There's a principle there. But there is truth too. That your life is fuller when you do it God's way. It is better. It's like these instructions of the Lego. When you do the Legos right, have you ever put Legos together and you put it together? You're like, why did they put that piece there? And then you realize it's to hold it sturdy, to make it strong. It's to help it not break apart. And you're kind of like, that's kind of unnecessary. You never imagined it going there. That's how God's word is, that His commands are. You can look at the psalmist again, 119, and read the early part of the chapter and how he meditates on the word and he delights in the word of the Lord. And that's something I hope that you pray for your students and your teachers and your administrators, the one that you commit today, pray that they will love what God says and trust it. Have you ever met somebody who just trusted God's word? Is it not an impressive miracle of the Lord when you see that? When they delight in His word, they stand firm on His word. They're not knocked to and fro by the hearts that have abandoned it. Comes with a promise that God will bless it. And we know He ultimately blesses it. Not only making our days full here on this earth as we obey Him, He blesses it in regards to eternity and eternal life. I was going to do a sermon on one another verses. I was going to go through one another verses and let me tell you how to relate to people. It's the best way. And it's God's way. I mean, think about it. That we're to love one another. Don't you want to be loved by others? Kids, don't you long for that when you go to school? That you find somebody at that school who would love you. God tells us that He wants us to love Him with all our heart. That was in our affirmation of faith. To love the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's the better way. We see the contrast. We see people not loving us. We see people being selfish. We see people pushing us aside or talking bad about us. He tells us to be welcome and hospitable to one another. He tells us to bear with one another's burden. That when you see somebody heavy-hearted, that you'd come to them and say, can I carry this with you? That's God's way. That's His command. He tells us to seek to bear the burdens of one another in Galatians 6:2. He tells us to be at peace with one another. That means if you have a conflict, instead of stewing over the conflict in school, to go straight to that person who you have a conflict with and say, I'm so sorry for what I did wrong. Would you please forgive me? That's a peacemaking thing. He tells us that we're to serve one another. Don't you want to be served? I tell you, the best way I deal with my insecurities relationally, when I'm most insecure, especially in a setting where everything just seems like, oh, nobody really, I'm just insecure, I look to serve. How can I serve them? In the times that I've done it, the Lord's blessed it. There have been some people say, no, I want you to help me. Yeah, I get those too, but overall, in my experience of serving others, it always kind of is a blessing. He tells us to forgive one another. They go on, and I got to move on for the sake of time, but they go on and on about God's wonderful commands. And there's a game we play sometimes with the youth, or I play at camp, all that stuff. Y'all have heard of the Would You Rather game? Would you rather, some of the examples of would you rather have cheddar popcorn or movie theater popcorn? And I'd have the kids raise their hand, and they're like, I like cheddar. And they go, right, raise your hand if you like the movie theater popcorn. And you're kind of a way of identifying yourself. Or would you rather date someone who you love, or would you rather date someone who loves you, if you had to pick between the two? There's a bunch of those that you can find where you kind of have these would you rather. I want to do that with y'all. I want to do, would you rather have a friend that always loved you no matter what, or a friend that was fickle in his love or her love? Would you rather have a friend that would forgive you when you wronged them and you failed, or a friend who doesn't forgive you? Would you rather have somebody who looked out for your interest over their own, or somebody who just looked after their interest? Somebody who would hear what you had to say, or somebody who just talked? We all can go through God's wonderful commands on how we relate to each other, and we all would say the better way is God's way, at least when it comes to me. I want that. I long for that. But is that not the battle with our own siblings in our home? Is that not the battle for us at school? Whose side am I on? Whose group am I in? I'm in this group and not that group? Would you rather have somebody be a giver in their relationship with you or a taker? Somebody who's humble or arrogant? Isn't God's way better? And so we have to trust it and say, God, this is how you have related to me. Again, we'll come back to this. This is how you have established relationships. You're the one who made us in your image. You're the one who said it's not good for man to be alone. You're the one who wrote down all the one another, had the one another verses inspired them to be written down. You're the one who did this stuff. I'm going to stand firm on that this school year. I'm not going to abandon it. I'm not going to abandon your commands and your laws. God's way is better. Trust Him. The second one is trust God's love. Trust God's love. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on tablets of your heart. And so find favor, high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust God's love. That word mercy, hesed, is always typically in Scripture. You can find it in several passages in Psalm 25 and Psalm 57 and Proverbs 16 and Proverbs 20, Hosea 4. You'll find mercy and faithfulness. Mercy and truth. You'll see those words combined. Love and mercy and truth and faith. You'll see those come together. Trust God's love. I mean, He sure has demonstrated His love for us. He showed us how great His love is when He stretched out His arm and endured the wrath of the Father for our sins. He showed us how much He loves us by fighting for us and bringing us to salvation, even though our heart wants to abandon those things. So much we're seeking love. I'm part of the issues in our society, part of the perversions in our society that are being now endorsed and proclaimed and accepted and embraced. And if you don't embrace it, then you're a bigot. You're against this. All these things is a seeking of love, a love that it will not be found in those perversions. And God says, I love you. I love you so much that I won't give you what you deserve. I'll show mercy to you. I'll love you so much that this mercy and love is going to be faithful and never ending. It endures forever. It never fails. Nothing can take you from my hand. Nothing can snatch you out of my grip. One of my mama's favorite, the jewelry that my mom wore that I most liked was she had a gold necklace with a little golden heart. Some of you probably have one like this, but it was a kind of a gold heart, and you could open it up. And inside of it would be a picture of my dad and a picture of my mom. And it was a comfort to me to know of their love for each other. I loved the fact that my dad loved my mom more than he loved me. There was stability in that. There was confidence in that. And it brought me great joy opening up, seeing a little picture of my daddy's head and a little picture of my mom's head and knowing they're together as one. I love that. And when it talks about binding this necklace around us, binding it around our neck, what the father here, the wise father, our father, is saying to us through Solomon, he's saying, bind my love around your neck. Know my love, trust my love, so that you don't go running off for the not love that you think it is, what you think is love, you go running off to these other things. See, God's love is best. It's better than any earthly love. It's better than the love that I can show Linda or the love Linda can show me. God's love is perfect and pure. It says, write them on tablets of your hearts. God wants us to know with certainty how much He loves us. That's amazing. That is a comfort to you when you go to school and you see others fail to love you, or students fail to love you, or whatever things you face is a comfort to stand upon the unfailing love of Christ Jesus. Not only is His love better, it comes with a promise. As the one did before, It comes with a promise. It says that you'll find favor. If you stand upon the love of God, if you bind it around your neck, if you write it on the tablets of your heart, again, you see the heart involved. If you do these things, you will have the favor in God's sight, and you'll have the favor of man. What? Why would man think that it was impressive for me to stand firm on the love of God? Because they would see this confidence that they long for. They would see this unselfish love that flows out of you that's uncommon to them. It doesn't always happen. There's some people who will make fun of you if you stand on the love of Christ. There's some people who will mock you for your faith and your relationship with Christ. But God's saying, I'll do with you like I did with David. I'll do with you like I did with Joseph. I'll do with you like I did with Daniel. It will be blessed if you bind my love for you. That's another thing we can pray for our students, is trust in God's love. The next one we are very familiar with in chapter 3, God's wisdom is better. You look here and it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. It's saying don't think for yourself. Don't lean on your own understanding. My ways, according to Isaiah 55, 8, 9, my ways are higher than your ways. My ways are greater than yours. Mine are heavenly, yours are earthly. You will not fully comprehend it. Trust in my ways. Trust in my wisdom. Have you ever done that with a tragedy that God's written out for your life? That you say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. That there's some bigger thing here that you're going to do for my good and for your glory. Let me tell you, I would not have written out my middle school years the way they came to be. I was bullied on a regular basis in middle school. I was the one who didn't have a seat on the bus. I had to stand. I was the one who would get squirted by the bus driver with the water as I got off, and all the people on the bus would laugh. I was the one who didn't know anybody in the school because I was the new kid. I was the one who was walking down the hall, and five or six other students would be walking down the hall, and I knew that if I didn't want to get run over by them, I had to step into the classroom or get as close to the wall as I could. I was the one who came home after school every day with tears in my eyes saying, Mom and Dad, I don't want to go back there. I don't want to go back to school. And my parents would lovingly allow me to go through this trial, this tough time. I had no idea what God was doing with that. I had no idea why He would let me go through that hurt in middle school as a new kid. I didn't know. But my parents would say, trust Him, David. Trust Him. He's got a plan for you. He's going to use this. And I've seen it. I've seen God grow me with such a sensitivity for the ones that get pushed aside, to the ones that when I was in high school and finally got the favor of man that says that if I put my trust in the Lord, I'll get the favor of man. I'll get people to say, they won't just make fun of me for it, but they'll actually admire me for it. I remember then being the one who would be a friend to all in my high school years. And it spilled into my college years, and it spilled into my ministry. I didn't know what God said. You know what? In my own understanding, I said, I'll never be in ministry. I committed to it. I said, when I was 18, 19, 20 years old, I leaned on my own understanding. I said, I'll never serve the Lord in ministry. I'll never do youth ministry. That wasn't God's plan. That wasn't His design. He wrote out those tough years to equip me for ministry. He wrote out those difficult years to give me a heart for those that I probably wouldn't have ever had a heart for if I didn't go through those years. Everything just was a piece of cake, and my mom and dad said, we're going to find you a place where it's easy, David, and we're going to do this, and we're going to make everything easy for you, I'd have probably been less sensitive to the ones that so many people aren't sensitive to. God's way's better. It's beautiful. It's best. You see here in the next part, I've got to move quickly. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. All of these commands come with the blessed promises. He said, David, don't, when it comes to your temptation, trust in me. There's no temptation to seize you. 1 Corinthians, there's no temptation to seize you except what is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted, David, beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he's going to provide a way out so you can stand. Now, let me tell you something. You kids, in these years, each year gets harder and harder. You're going to be faced with all kinds of temptations that could be very destructive to your future. And these people that you're vying for their love and their acceptance are going to introduce you to things that could destroy you. They don't love you. They don't care about you. They're playing the same game that we're all tempted to play. Is how do I get favor and how do I get people to like me? And one of the most heartbreaking things about being in ministry for so long, in youth ministry for so long, is seeing those wonderful people who are so gifted be led astray because of these very destructive things. And God says, don't fear man. Fear me. Be in awe of me. And you know what? It'll be health to your bones. It'll be physically encouraging to you. It'll protect you physically from these dangers that can enslave us forever. The next part, and I'm moving quickly, to honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of your increases. God has blessed each one of you here today. Every one of you have great strengths that God has given you for His glory. He's gifted you all uniquely, differently, and wonderfully different. We all play different parts of the body, and He's given you gifts. And He's not only that, He's given us great material gifts, and we have more comforts than anybody in this world, and we, even the poorest of us, are laying and basking in wealth compared to others. And he said, I've entrusted this. Trust me with the fact that I will provide everything you need. You don't have to fight for it. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about this. You don't have to worry about that. I am going to provide for you because I own it all. I entrust it all. The more you get faithful in tithing and giving, this uses the term first fruit. You know, the whole first fruit thing is say, okay, instead of waiting to see what's left over that I'll put in the offering plate, I'm going to give God a check right off the bat, trusting that He's going to provide for me. As members of the church, we give our first fruits. We say, here's my 10%, God, and you move in me to be generous more if I need to be. You move me to give to other ministries. You move me to invest in other things of this church because I trust you. It's amazing how He loves to encourage us in that area. He's when the statement of God saying your barns will be full. This is not a prosperity gospel here. He's just saying I'm gonna provide for you in a wonderful way. And then the last part is trust in His parenting, His discipline. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father, the son in whom He delights. I always wondered, every time I'd have a secret sin, my mom and dad find out about it. Because He loves you. God loves you. I've had kids come to me, man, I can't believe my whole life's ruined. My mom and dad found out about this, and I did this with my phone, and I did this with this. And I said, man, God loves you so much that He's fighting for you. He's fighting for your soul. He's protecting you from a downward slide that would lead you into a further hole of miserableness. I could give you illustration after illustration where God has done that, and many others in this church could attest to it. Where His love, He said, a father loves his son, and he loves and he corrects him. There's not a promise here. It just says it's a sign of God's love. It's a reminder that He loves us. And it says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and that man who gains understanding. If you look at all six of the ones that we had to kind of speak through at the end, look at this. And there's so much more to be said on each one of these, but look at this. You find in this text, 1 through 13, the pathway to Christ. The one that fulfills all the promises. All these promises here are fulfilled in Christ Jesus. They belong to us and they are fulfilled and completed in Christ Jesus. And we can fix our eyes upon Christ and say, God's promises do not fail. And we see God saying, delight in my law. It's the best thing for you. But you know why it's the best thing for us, sinners? Is it because it shows us our depravity and our sinfulness and our heart that likes to abandon His law, and it leads us to say, I am a wretched sinner and I have no hope in myself and I need a Savior. And then you see the second pathway to, and it's not a, you know, you see this here, this, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And my mercy is displayed on the cross. And my grace is displayed and imputed in my righteousness. And you stand upon and trust that. And you see how the law leads us to the mercy. And then it says, okay, Lord, not my way, your way. I'm full surrender. Not my way of thinking in this aspect of my life, in this aspect of my life. I want you to rule every aspect of my life. And you see the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You see the humbling of the gospel in the fourth point. Being wise in our own eyes and that we're to flee evil. You see the possessions are, we start to have a clear view of where these possessions, who they belong to, and it's the Lord. And then we start to say, Lord, are you disciplining me? Are you pursuing me? Are you fighting me? Are there people that have spoken into my sin and I've refused it? I've rejected it. Are you loving me, Father? Happy is the man, blessed is the man who finds Christ Jesus. Blessed is the man who finds the one that is the way, the truth, and the law. Blessed is the one who obeyed completely the laws and commands of the Lord. Happy is the one who finds the one whose plan is much wiser than ours, who gave up all his heavenly possessions to come down to this earth and die on the cross for our sins and take the discipline of the Father, the chastening of the Father that we deserve. Happy is the man who's trusting that. As you pray for one another, pray these things. Pray that we would trust in these things set forth with us in this text. Let's pray. Father God, this school year may it be a school year that's recorded in our life as well as the ones to come, as years that we trusted you and we believed you and our faith was in what you say. That we would trust in these things that we've mentioned here today from your word. And that we'd watch you bless it. Not in our way of thinking of how you bless it, but in your perfect way of blessing it. Father, we pray that you'd bless this trust that you've done in us to you, that you would bless it and bring others to that. Bring others to Christ through our students. Bring others to Christ through our teachers. Bring others to Christ through our administrator, through our parents, through all of us here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to close with the hymn, I Surrender All, 408. Great hymn, 408, I Surrender All.